Hi, I'm Bryant Reeves of the Vancouver Grizzlies, and you're listening to CITR 101.9.
Big Country Reeves, remember him for the Vancouver Grizzlies, and maybe you've forgotten the Vancouver Grizzlies altogether. Tyler Noble with you for Wiener's Barbecue here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. As Daryl Wiener would always say, the poor guy is down for the count today. He's if you were listening to our basketball last Thursday, you might have noticed that he was a little under the weather then. He couldn't make the game Saturday afternoon up at SFU, and still trying to recover. So, Daryl, if you're listening, we wish you well, and thanks for helping me set up the show this afternoon as well. Once again, Tyler Noble with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Don't mind the late start work and other things interfering with the preparations here today. So it's going to be kind of one of those shows where you need to bear with me as we get through the little less than 90 minutes. Right off the top, though, we're going to be talking about UBC basketball. The Thunderbirds taking on the Victoria Vikes, both on the women's and men's side. And a big weekend, particularly for the women, as home playoff position is really up for grabs. The Thunderbirds not able to defeat the Simon Fraser Clan on Saturday, and the Victoria Vikes got a couple of big wins over the Fraser Valley Cascades, and that has now shifted the standings. So a lot on the line for UBC in terms of whether they'll be traveling or not come the first round of the playoffs. I believe that coming up in 3 weeks from now. So lots to get into. Joining me now on the line is Wilson Wong, the voice of UBC Thunderbirds women's and a little bit of men's basketball this year. Good afternoon to you, Wilson.
Good afternoon.
And also on the line is the voice of UBC Thunderbirds volleyball, but he'll be talking to us about basketball as well from a UVic Vikes perspective. Gavin Day, good afternoon to you as well.
Afternoon, Tyler.
Well, guys, over the last number of years, UBC and Victoria has always been a marquee matchup in terms of the men, not so much the women, but perhaps that's starting to change. These two schools met in the first round of the women's basketball playoffs the last 2 years. The men's teams didn't meet up last year. So when you consider that tight race between UBC and Victoria and the women's standings, perhaps a new rivalry developing here. Wilson, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on the matchup, UBC versus Victoria at War Gym this weekend.
Well, you know, it's not... I mean, it's not really a new rivalry because the two teams have met so many times in the playoffs. And if you look down, geez, the UBC playoff results for the last, at least for the first part of Deb Heban's career, for the first 10, 11 years, UBC always lost to Victoria, 2-0 in the first round. So the teams have met many times during Deb's time here as head coach at UBC. And then, you know, it really shifted in the middle of this or the last decade, I should say, just because of how SFU and UBC both really ascended and took Victoria's place at the top of the sort of the hierarchy of Canadian basketball on the women's side. So it became more of a UBC SFU thing, sort of the two teams splitting the last two national championships. But yeah, with UBC sort of I guess dropping down a little bit and becoming less of a factor nationally, it's become more of a rivalry again. And I mean, last year was a great series where UBC went in on the road and swept the Vikes and provided the team with a really nice boost at the end of the year there. But yeah, it's you know, it's a really nice rivalry, and of course it's one that even when they weren't really kind of when it wasn't really kind of a big rivalry, a big matchup there, that it was still one where the two teams really provided some great matchups when they met up.
Gavin, Wilson referred to the playoff matchup last spring. Fair to say that there's some bitterness towards the UBC Thunderbirds from the Vikes' perspective over that?
Without a doubt, the Vikes will not forget what happened in the first round of the playoffs. That's why they're coming into this weekend absolutely fired up, wanting to get that home court advantage back so that they can make no mistake this time. I mean, I spoke with Vanessa Forsbauer from the UVic Vikes last weekend, and she was already sort of looking beyond Fraser Valley. I mean, they did take the two wins from Fraser Valley, but she was saying that it's going to be like a playoff atmosphere this weekend. I know it sounds cliche, but it is. I mean, when UVic looks at the schedule every year, they look when they're playing UBC, because there is no hometown local rivalry, they look across the water to UBC because it is the closest school, and especially after what happened in the first round of the playoffs last year. That can only help to fuel the fire, and the fact that the teams are so close in the standings, again, just adds it even more. So it is going to be a pretty exciting weekend. And, I mean, it's playoffs just a couple weeks away. You're going to get an early treat, early taste of that this coming weekend.
Absolutely. Wilson, you were up at Burnaby Mountain on Saturday for both the men's and women's matchups against SFU. Obviously, the UBC women came up well short of the Clan in an 81-68 defeat. Not exactly positive momentum heading into these two big games versus Victoria, but perhaps some lessons learned from the Clan.
I mean, just the fact that UBC they're just not there yet. They don't have the players to really stay with a team like SFU. And that's why the series is so big. I mean, UBC this year has defeated Regina, defeated Saskatchewan at home. So for them to win a home playoff sort of date to be able to host the first round playoff series is really big for them. I think on the weekend, what we saw was that UBC just unable to handle the depth of SFU. UBC has lots of good players, our Huntley, Alex Viereg. In the front court there, I think they're pretty good and when compared to any other squad in the country. But I think their real weakness is in the back court, in the guard position, where Coach Deb Huban just doesn't have a real point guard to play with, first of all. And then, when a player like Ariane Deshane came in off the bench, there was a real drop-off in terms of guard play, in terms of what UBC could do on offense. So I think for the Thunderbirds team, they really need to be able to work the ball around and to get the ball into the front court where the players have shown, whether it's, Zara Huntley down to a player like Lee Stansfield, that they can score. They just need to be able to get that help from the backcourt and to be able to keep the ball, because turnovers really killed them in that third quarter against SFU when the Clan pulled away.
Gavin, you were in Victoria over the weekend watching the Vikes take on the Fraser Valley Cascades. Not really a contest in either match, but perhaps some pretty clear indications why UVic is 11-4 in conference play this season. Is it just their strong defensive play that's getting them there?
I mean, yeah, you're right about the defensive play. Vikes head coach Brian Chang, it's what he preaches, is defense first. I was actually at a game in Calgary in December at this tournament, and UVic gave up over 100 points to the Dinos, and I don't think that's ever happened in his tenure as head coach. But it's sort of the defense is the main strength, but it also, this past weekend against Fraser Valley, we saw the depth of the UVic team. Kayla Dykstra, the reigning CIS Women's Player of the Year, her numbers are down. She's not scoring as much, but it's mostly because more people are stepping up. Debbie Yeboah, the second-year point guard, has stepped in, and she's really taken the starting position away from Michelle Lee and is running with it. She was second in scoring this past Saturday against the Cascades, but I mean, you can just sort of list off other players who have been stepping up. Carmen Lapthorne has come into the team, and she's contributing. Kristen Hughes has started to light it up from beyond the three-point line. And like I mentioned, Vanessa Forsbauer earlier, she's another starter who can chip in some points. So it's the defense mainly, which is what your UVic strength is always going to be, but it's also that this depth that the squad has now, which is really coming to the fore.
Let's shift over to the men's side. Wilson, I'll start with you. Just a thought on UBC versus Victoria. I mentioned off the top, not quite the same men's rivalry that we've seen in years past. Do you think UBC showed enough in their bounce-back performance on Saturday to feel pretty confidently about how they will shape up against Victoria?
No. I mean, the way that UBC came out against SFU after having lost to the Clan 2 days earlier was just terrible. I mean, just, you would think that after losing to a rival like SFU at their home gym, while having lost their perfect season, that the Thunderbirds would come out and actually play with some anger, with some focus, with, some sort of emotion. And you just figured, like, holy geez, I mean, were these guys out for, like, so watching them, were these guys out in practice? Mm-hmm. a grade school team. It was just terrible the way they played. But, you know, I guess you look at the flip side is the fact that they actually won that game. They actually were able to recover and started playing better. And even though they didn't play a very good full 40 minutes of basketball, they were still able to pull off a win against a very good team. So I guess it just really depends on what happens with the CBC team. I'm assuming that this has not been a pleasant week of practice for the guys, and it won't be, and that they'll be coming out with a lot more intensity when they actually meet the Vikes. Although, and the Vikes, you know, are a team that plays a similar offensive style, not quite, you know, full Princeton offense like the Clan, but lots of movement on offense. You know, the whole key is to get that open shot, and so it should be something that UBC, you know, at least has been working against in real time for the last couple of weeks now.
Gavin, very tough division that Victoria is in now that the Simon Fraser Clan are really making a statement at 12-3 right behind UBC. I suppose the Vikes are in must-win territory on the men's side.
Oh, they're going to be desperate. It's just straight up. I mean, they have three games left, two of them against UBC, one of them against SFU, and of course they're both above the Vikes in the standings, so at least two of them, I figure, they have to win. The fortunate thing is that Trinity Western and Fraser Valley are facing off against each other this weekend. So what the UVic is sort of hoping that one or the other takes both of those games this weekend. Mm-hmm. I guess looking at the standings, it is Trinity who is above Fraser Valley. But it's just a very desperate Vikes team, especially after they blew 23-point lead over Fraser Valley this past Saturday against Fraser Valley. So, you know, we're going to see a very desperate, scrappy team come out in the first 10 minutes looking for any sort of advantage they can get on Friday night.
I know when Daryl's sitting in this chair, he makes a lot about the new playoff format and the schedule when it comes to Canada West basketball. Maybe I'll get quick thoughts from both of you, starting with Wilson. Going down the stretch here, we have these critical games coming up, and they're not home-and-home series. Your thoughts, Wilson, I mean, is it really starting to show here that this doesn't make sense?
Oh, it doesn't make sense. You know, before you know it, the season's almost over, and you look back and you're just wondering, like, how many games have I even been to? How many games have I even broadcasted? How many games have the players played against teams that are from the area, and you realize, geez, it's not very important. And to be honest, I mean, with the way things have turned out, it's you're not really. I mean, you're fighting for playoff position, but you're also making sure that you're finding the Lethbridge score and the Brandon score, and I guess in that way it's good because there's more sort of attention to the entire conference. But you know, it just doesn't seem like a very cohesive, exciting season this year. It just has been kind of plodding along, and then all of a sudden it's near its end and you don't even know what's really happened.
Gavin?
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, it's easily obvious that the wild card team is coming out of the Pacific Division. But, I mean, you look at the standing of the other division, and I haven't had a clear look at them lately, but I think third place is something like 7-10. And I mean, the teams that are above 500 over here in the Pacific are just scrambling to get that last spot. And I mean, it's true what Wilson is saying. I mean, I usually come over and watch UVic when they play on the mainland, and there's really been very few chances. And it's just something is bizarre with how things have been run this year, for sure.
All right, guys, really appreciate you helping me out this afternoon. We'll see you on the weekend.
Thanks, Alex.
Right, take care.
Take care.
All right, that was Wilson Wong, the voice of UBC Thunderbirds women's basketball here on CITR, and Gavin Day, the voice of UBC volleyball, but also a follower of the University of Victoria Vikes, as that's his alma mater, and certainly providing some perspective there on what are big matchups, especially on the women's side, but it's always one that circled on the calendar in terms of men's basketball, UBC and Victoria. Coming up, we're going to take a break here in a second, but coming up a little bit later on the show, next we've got some women's hockey. We're going to hook up with Serena Swanson, first year from the UBC women's hockey team, following a couple of tough losses to the Manitoba Bisons this past weekend. We'll hear from her on that. Also, Vern Knopp, assistant coach of the men's basketball team, coming up at 5:05. Also going to talk a little women's volleyball with Lauren Whitehead from the UBC Thunderbirds. That's about 5:25, and going to wrap up with Howard Samura as well from the Vancouver Province newspaper, talking about a number of different things, get his thoughts on the new hiring of a new coach for the UBC Thunderbirds football team, Sean Olson. You've been hearing lots about that on our station here, and particularly on this show, Wiener's Barbecue, and we'll also get his thoughts on SFU upsetting UBC last Thursday in men's basketball, and a little bit of Clan perspective as well in terms of how they're positioned for their entry into the NCAA conference next season. So all of that's coming up here on Wiener's Barbecue. Tyler Noble filling in for Daryl Wiener this afternoon. Stay with us.
Tuesday, February 23rd, beginning at sunset in Montreal, broadcasting live on your local campus and community radio station.
Sometimes we get that instant homelessness. We didn't expect to be homeless, and we find ourselves on the street because of an eviction or a notice.
Canada's largest talk show on poverty and homelessness.
We have a mayor who compared poor people to pigeons publicly and said that if you stop feeding them, they'll go away.
The 8th Annual Homelessness Marathon, broadcasting February 23rd to 24th. A 14-hour live radio show from frozen street corners across Canada. Call in live, join the discussion.
Our demand from the federal government is $2 billion a year for social housing units across Canada. That'll just help us to start catching up to the 15 years that we've lost in building social housing in this country. It's really a glaring example of the negligence of the government.
Visit www.ckut.ca for more info.
The Homelessness Marathon will be broadcasting live from Vancouver on Tuesday, February 23rd at 8 p.m. as CITR 101.9 FM partners with CJSF 90.1 FM and Co-op 102.7 FM to bring you an hour of interviews and stories of how the 2010 Olympics are affecting homelessness in Vancouver. Visit CITR.ca for more information.
Hi, I'm Trevor Lennon, and I'm on my way to the game tonight listening to Wiener's Barbecue on CITR.
We certainly hope that's still the case. Trevor, lots of cool station IDs that Daryl Wiener has in his folder here for Wiener's Barbecue on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Tyler Noble filling in for Daryl this week as he remains down for the count, under the weather, use the expression you'd like, not feeling very well, something that began late last week. You may have heard him struggle through our UBC SFU broadcast of men's basketball on Thursday night. So Daryl, get well, and get well soon. All right, women's hockey is our focus right now. The UBC Thunderbirds having to play a couple of home games off campus this past weekend against the Manitoba Bisons, and tight ones, but not the results that UBC was looking for as they remain in that hunt for the fourth and final playoff spot in the Canada West Conference. The Thunderbirds still on the outside looking in with only a few games remaining. With us on the line is first-year forward Serena Swanson. Serena, thank you for taking some time this afternoon.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, obviously it's been an adjustment playing so-called home games off campus. In fact, I think this is the third home rink that your team has played in this season. How has that been a challenge in terms of remaining focused on the task at hand, which is picking up some wins and getting into the playoffs?
Well, I actually don't think it's really hurt our performance too much. I mean, yeah, it's a pain because we got to go all around. Like, we're storing our gear at the stadium, so we have to go there and pack it up and load a bus kind of like we're going away. But, I mean, everyone's still focused for the game, ready to go. We had a good, like, we played well this weekend, and we just didn't get the results.
It's going to be an uphill battle, to say the least, because you got road games coming up. What is the approach for this coming weekend against Saskatchewan?
Well, Saskatchewan's a really tough, gritty, hardworking team, and we just got to play really hard, give it our 100%. And the biggest thing for our team is to play 60 minutes of hockey and just give it our all the time. And, I mean, I think we can pull out 4 points if we play the way I know we can play. So hopefully that happens.
Kind of an up-and-down year for the team. I mean, you managed to pull off one victory against the Alberta Pandas. You talked about playing a full 60 minutes, and I know your coach preaches on the whole 60 minutes. I mean, if the team is able to really pull it all together and overcome injuries and get a good performance from Melinda Choi in goal, certainly anybody's beatable, hey?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we have a great hockey team. We're one of the only teams that can skate with Alberta, and I think that's huge because they're all obviously the team to beat.
What do you feel you and the team need to do better in terms of going forward and being able to make the postseason?
Well, we definitely got to capitalize on our chances more. I mean, there's been so many times, myself included, I've had, you know, an open net, and it's just not there. It's not going in the net. It needs to be because these games are tight, 1-2-goal games.
Tell me about the two games against Manitoba. Obviously, very close outcomes, 2-1 one night, 5-3 the other. A couple of tough losses for sure. What went wrong for UBC in those two games?
Well, as Nancy said, you know, you guys, you played good for 50 minutes of the game, 10 minutes. There's just a couple lapses in our zone, and they got players that will bury the puck when we're sleeping. So that's all it took for them to steal the game from us.
Tell me about your experience playing CIS hockey this season and going to school and managing all those different things. I'm sure there's been some things that have gone the way you expected and perhaps some things that haven't. Tell us about the experience thus far.
Well, it's definitely been a pretty cool experience. It's a lot of work, and I mean, I have respect for anyone who plays CIS sports and does school at the same time. I mean, a lot of time management, a lot of work. You're on the road a lot. You're training almost every day, and it's a huge step from midget hockey. But it's been a really good experience.
What have you been able to learn from some of the senior players?
I've learned pretty much everything from them, like how to manage my time, how to study. I mean, a lot of them will help me out with my school if I need it, and they're just, you know, really supportive. If you're having a tough day or if you're not playing very good, they're just supportive. They give you a tap on the pad, say, let's go. And they're really, really good to all the first-year students, including me.
I know you don't want to put yourself ahead of the team at all here, but in terms of your own stats, I mean, are you kind of where you expected for first year? Better? Not so much? Where would you place yourself in terms of self-expectations?
Well, I always have really high expectations for myself, and I'd say I'm probably not as happy with the way I've been playing as I would like to be, but I mean, I know it's always a hard transition. Every first-year player says the same thing, that it's a tough transition going into CIS. And, I mean, yeah, I'm not scoring the goals like I used to, and I'm not getting assists, but that doesn't really matter anymore. It's just about the team winning and doing well together. So,
going forward, the fact that you have two back-to-back weekends here on the road, is that maybe not ideal circumstances for your team? Does that sort of make the hill a little bit steeper to climb?
It's definitely a bit tougher to try and go on the road, get out to the plane legs and stuff, but at least, you know, we have pregame skates. But, I mean, I think the hardest part right now is that we have midterms coming up in about a week, so everyone's going to be trying to study as well as get focused and ready to go because we got to steal 4 points this weekend.
All right. Well, Serena, I appreciate the few minutes this afternoon. Best of luck against Saskatchewan and Calgary as well the following weekend. Playing the Dinos at the end, I guess, really brings the season full circle, eh?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
That is Serena Swanson from the UBC Thunderbirds women's hockey team following a couple of losses to the Manitoba Bisons. Home games, but played out in Langley this past weekend. 2-1 on the Friday night, a loss, and 5-3 a loss as well for UBC on the Saturday night. A couple of tough ones. They really need to pick up points. Now they've got Saskatchewan on the road. That'll be a tough matchup. And then the Calgary Dinos, UBC splitting their games earlier on this season. 3-1 win for Calgary on the first meeting, and then 4-1 for UBC in the second meeting. And we'll give you sort of a picture of the standings right now. UBC sitting in the number 5 position, 20 games played, 4 more to go. They have a record of 7-12-1, good for 15 points. They're 1 behind Regina, but Regina has 2 games in hand. So it's going to be very difficult for UBC. Saskatchewan sitting in 3rd with a record of 12-5. Calgary, 5-14. Certainly a beatable opponent there. You have to look at that final road weekend for the UBC Thunderbirds and think that maybe that'll be a timely opportunity for them to get into the postseason. The Dinos, their first year in Canada West competition after playing college level hockey for the last number of years. And although they got a first win against UBC to start off the Canada West season, it's been a tough one for them. They currently sit last in the Canada West with a record, as I say, of 5-14-1. So, as I say, two tough ones coming up against Saskatchewan on the road, but perhaps it'll ease off a little bit for UBC the following weekend. We shall see. All right, we'll take another break. Coming up on the other side, we're going to talk UBC men's basketball. UBC splitting their last two games against the Simon Fraser Clan Thursday night and Saturday afternoon. Thursday night, one being UBC's first loss of the season. Managed to bounce back in the second one, and will that put them into a position of strength going into the couple of big games at War Gym this weekend against the Victoria Vikes? Certainly we heard from Wilson Wong, he doesn't think they're ready, and we've heard a lot of concerns from the coaching staff. We heard from them on Friday and as well following the game on Saturday. I suspect still a lot to do and a lot to focus on in practice this week, so we'll get into all of that coming up here on CITR 101.9 FM. This is Wiener's Barbecue, Tyler Noble in for Daryl Wiener.
LiveVan.com is Vancouver's most reputable, community-driven concert calendar. New shows are listed daily by the city's most prominent promoters, but also by you. The musicians and fans who are the driving force of our local music scene. LiveVan.com's listings are different because they're personalized. They're integrated with local music directories that are constantly updated by the bands, musicians, and businesses who refer to them as they pick locations and lineups for their newest upcoming shows. And no one's barred from contributing, since we all know fans know more about the players than anyone. So visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest major and independent event listings. And while you're at it, check out our archives and discover how closely we all work together in this community, putting on the shows you love.
Do you like phone sex? Well, lucky you. Wednesday, February 3rd at the Astoria, Discorder Magazine presents Sex Negatives, Phone Calls, and a special DJ set by MT40. Doors open at 9 p.m., so get your ass down to the Astoria at 769 East Hastings on February 3rd and support music, sex, and phone calls.
CITR News is committed to providing you with in-depth Olympic coverage from an alternative perspective. As part of this coverage, we are launching a new Eyes on the Street feature, where Vancouverites will have a chance to tell their Olympic story. We want to hear your perspective on life in Vancouver during the Games. That's why we're inviting you to be CITR's Eyes on the Street this February. If you're at an event, a protest, a celebration, or even simply on the bus, tell us about it. There are three ways to file a report. Call our Eyes on the Street hotline at 604-822-5334. Email news at citr.ca or tweet CITR News. Then sit back and wait for your report to be featured on the next edition of News 101, which airs Monday and Friday at 5 p.m. right here on CITR, 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Are you a UBC student taking first-year economics, math, chemistry, or physics?
That stuff is hard.
Are you feeling like you need some tutoring? That's okay, because the AMS offers free and appointment tutoring for students in these subjects.
Whoa! How does it work?
It's on a first-come, first-served basis, and there's no need to sign up. Just show up with your books and your questions.
Whoa! When does it happen?
Monday to Thursday from 3 to 7 at the Sub Pacific Spirit Cafeteria, located beside the Starbucks.
Whoa! A+, here I come.
You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm Tyler Noble, filling in for Daryl Wiener, who is
still not feeling very well, going back to last week. So he's taking the week off, and I'm in trying to get through the show as we approach 6 o'clock, talking all about all sorts of UBC teams heading towards the playoffs, and always a lot of focus on the men's basketball team, joined on the line right now by men's basketball assistant coach Vern Knopp. Vern, thanks for taking the time this afternoon.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Well, you got the bounce back win you were looking for against the Clan on Saturday, but obviously not before suffering the first loss of the season Thursday night. What did you learn about your team in those two games against SFU?
First and foremost, we learned we still have a lot of work to do to get where we want to be at the end of the year. Although the loss on Thursday night was really disheartening, we showed a lot of character by bouncing back on Saturday. So as disappointing as it was good to get back on a winning track on Saturday.
Are you in a way happy that the team has suffered a loss and the undefeated record is no longer even a possible distraction?
Yeah, you're never happy to get a loss at any time of the year. Mm-hmm. We really hadn't, as a team, discussed going undefeated. And like we told the players after the game, at the beginning of the year, one of our goals was not to go undefeated. It was to obviously win the division to secure home court advantage through the playoffs, and then winning in the playoffs to secure home court throughout the playoffs for Final Four, and then to obviously the ultimate prize is winning the national championship. So I guess in some ways, yeah, there'll be less pressure. But like I said, it was never really discussed as one of our goals.
Any difference? Are you a coach that would feel a loss is a loss, or is there a difference between an 82-79 loss or something of a much wider margin?
A loss is a loss. We didn't really look at, we just looked at the overall performance, and we weren't happy with the way we came out and played, especially. And it was really just a sign of things to come over the last month, where even like during the course of the year we've had a lot of bad first halves for whatever reason, and we've been fortunate enough to show the character of a winning team where we can come back and win. But ultimately, if you keep falling behind 14, 16, 17 points in the first half, early second half, eventually it's going to come back to bite you, and that was kind of the case on Thursday. It just wasn't enough to really overcome.
What were the biggest weaknesses that were exposed by the Clan, in your opinion?
What was that, sorry?
What were the biggest weaknesses that the Clan were able to expose, in your opinion?
I think the biggest, I don't know if it was really just a weakness other than, again, falling behind early. We knew they were a very good three-point shooting team that's going to shoot a lot of threes. They play an offense that was called the Princeton offense, which is a lot of backdoor cuts and a lot of movement, and it can be kind of a tricky offense to play until you've experienced it. And I think that was really the one thing that we struggled with, how we wanted to defend it. And I think we made the necessary adjustments on Saturday. I don't really think they exposed any of our weaknesses, other than the fact that maybe, just shows how much we miss Josh White when he's not in the game. He was in foul trouble, obviously, that game on Thursday, and we do struggle when Josh isn't on the floor for various reasons.
Not that you folks would probably want to make excuses, but a Thursday night game, is that kind of sort of an unfortunate blip on the schedule, I suppose, kind of throws off the preparations throughout the week for a game like that, would it not?
In some cases, but over the last few years, we have played a lot of Thursday night games, Thursday, Saturday games. I think the only negative to us is the fact that it came so soon after traveling on the road at Calgary. On a big win on Saturday at Calgary, Lethbridge, Calgary. Period. Friday, Saturday is always a tough road trip, and I guess in a short week, in some ways, it may have hurt us. But we knew that. We knew that it was a schedule a long time before the season started, so it's not really that big a deal because we've played a lot of Thursday games in the past.
Must be glad to have the final three games at home now to head into the playoffs.
Yeah, no question. It's something on the schedule that we saw, that we noticed that we could, we kind of controlled our own destiny late in the year, and we still did to win at least one of our next three games to secure home court advantage for the playoffs. But really, we're fortunate now, the last three games being at home, and then we potentially won't have to go back on the road until we go to Nationals.
Not the same marquee matchup maybe that we've seen in years past, but two coming up against Victoria this weekend. I'm sure your guys are still certainly looking forward to those.
Yeah, it's always it really is the biggest rival we've had. I mean, years past, I guess you could make a case for Calgary just because we played them in Canada West the last 2 or 3 years. But it seems like over the last, I don't know, seven to eight years especially, that it's always seems to be Vic and us battling it out for first place in the division. Although now with Trinity last year and this year SFU, it's kind of put a little damper on the rivalry. But both teams always look forward to playing each other. It's a long tradition rivalry, and you know they're going to be bringing a lot of fans out to the game on Friday, Saturday. So we're hoping to get a big crowd out for ourselves to clinch home court for the playoffs.
Words like urgency, desperation, we hear from you on the men's basketball coaching staff every now and then in terms of your players not bringing enough of it. Have you been able to put your finger on it yet in terms of having the right intensity level going into games and not falling behind early, such as what happened with SFU?
Yeah, you know, every time, it's actually a really good point. Every time we think we've had it figured out, we get off to another slow start. It's something that we've been just trying to find the right formula all year. Hopefully, we figured it out. We've told our guys that, you know, we do have to have a sense of urgency to start basketball games. We can't wait till the third and fourth quarters to turn it up. I thought Saturday we got off to a better start, but for whatever reason, again, we seemed to struggle a little bit in the second quarter. That loss from last Thursday will hopefully get our guys a little more motivated to get off to better starts this weekend. But it's definitely a concern of ours, and it's something we're trying to work to remedy.
I know you probably don't want to get too far ahead, but I do want to just take a little look ahead to the playoffs here, just in the sense of scouting and preparing for the playoffs. Obviously a lot different this year now with the crossover format and facing a Prairie team come the first round of the... Well, we seem to have lost Vern there all of a sudden. I know his phone had cut out there at the very end, and sure enough, right off altogether. So we will... try and pick up that discussion right after this very quick break here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Walking alone at night can be scary!
Stop right there, student. Why walk alone when you can call SafeWalk? The safety and comfort of everyone on campus is important. That's why we're here.
SafeWalk is a free, student-run foot patrol service with two-person co-ed teams that will meet you and accompany you anywhere on campus to make sure you get there safely.
Keep an eye out for our bright red reflective jackets and signature foot logo, and let your next walk be with us.
What a huge relief! Now I'll never have to worry about the terrors that could happen when walking through such a big campus at night.
For a walk, you can call 604-822-5355. Use one of our direct line phones located in some of the campus libraries. Use one of the big blue phone booths. Or even ask campus security to contact us.
If you see walkers around campus and you'd like them to accompany you, stop and ask.
Tyler Noble back with you on Wiener's Barbecue here on CITR 101.9 FM. We have Vern Knopp, assistant coach of the men's basketball team, back on the line with us. A little dead spot there, I suppose, on your cell phone?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what happened there. Just kind of all of a sudden I just heard a dial tone, so okay. Kind of weird.
Yeah, we all did, evidently. Was asking you about playoff preparation and how you as a coaching staff are going about that differently this season now that the playoff format has changed. You could face any number of Prairie opponents in the first round, and then who knows come the final four. Is this a much more difficult job for you folks to kind of prepare your team, whereas in the past you know that it might only be a couple of opponents in the first round?
Yeah, you know, really, we haven't changed our playoff preparation. I mean, the big thing is just not knowing who you're going to play in the first round, which for this time of the year is kind of the norm. Although, you know, previous years you were pretty much guaranteed playing, you know, a BC team. Yeah, it's a lot different as far as not knowing. But one of the things Coach Hansen's done one of his strengths over the years has been as we progress throughout the season, everything we do from September, October to January is getting ourselves prepared for the playoffs come February. So, you know, even in practice now, although we're not specifically worried about teams, we're just trying to really focus on ourselves to get better at what we do as far as improve our strengths and, more importantly, improve any weaknesses we may have so that come playoffs we're firing on all cylinders.
Who are the key players that you will be expecting a lot from come these games against Victoria and then the following weekend against Trinity Western? Who are the key players that fans will need to be watching?
Well, first and foremost, our team, everything starts with Josh White. From day one this year in September, he's really become our leader on and off the court. It's really something that he was more last year. He kind of let Chris Dick take that role, and this year with Chris gone, he's really provided a lot more vocal leadership on the floor. And as evidence, when he was off the floor on this past weekend, we seemed to struggle. With that, it's really a lot of guys that need to step up, from Kamar Burke helping us rebound and score to a guy like Brent Malish, who came off the bench this week in a strong weekend for us. And we need other guys like Nathan Yu, who had a great first half of the season. Second half of the season, so far he's kind of tailed off. We really need him to get back going to where he was back in October, November. But ultimately, it's really just everybody. I mean, anybody that's watched us play for last year knows we can go 10 deep, and it's just really by everybody stepping up and when given the opportunity, stepping up and help pitch in on the offensive end as well.
Mm-hmm. Certainly you must be pleased with what you're getting out of Blaine LeBranch as well, averaging 15 points a game.
Yeah, Blaine really has been, you know, he's always been able to score for us, but it seems like lately he's just had that knack to pick us up when we've really been struggling. I mean, he had a huge second half game at Calgary, and again this weekend I believe his second and third quarters for us were really impressive as well up at SFU. So hopefully with Blaine, although he's a little banged up right now, hopefully he'll be able to produce for us this weekend and into the playoffs as well, because he is a huge part of our offense.
So practice this week, any sort of specific areas of focus or just more of the same, and trying to get your team, as you talked about, gradually prepared for the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest focus we've had so far in practice has been just taking care of the basketball. We've had way too many turnovers this past weekend, so first and foremost is protecting the basketball. Secondly, just being smart on defense to not give teams easy looks and easy layups. And also, when we do get stops, transitioning into offense to try to get easy hoops. Big key against this Victoria this weekend is Victoria likes to play it in the 50s and 60s. And we know if we can get some early stops and get onto the offensive end and get this game into the 70s, that we should be very successful this next weekend.
All right, Vern, before I let you go, of course, Daryl not hosting the show today, but certainly still very much an influence on the show, of course, setting up the interview. And there was one thing you wanted me to ask you, and that was, how badly are the Saints going to beat the Colts on Sunday?
It's not going to happen. I'll say Colts by 10, even with or without Dwight Freeney.
There you go. Well, you know, for me personally, I mean, I like the Saints' story in terms of, you know, they're in their first Super Bowl. They got to host the NFC Championship, big game in front of the home crowd, and they won it in overtime. But I'm with you. I feel the Colts are just too much, at least on paper, for the New Orleans Saints.
I would agree. I mean, Saints have had a great year, and it would be amazing for that team to win, just for that city, what they've been through the past 5 years. But I'm myself a diehard Colts fan, and I think as long as Peyton Manning's standing, I think I just can't see that defense stopping him.
Vern, good stuff. Appreciate your time this afternoon.
Anytime. Thanks very much.
Vern Knopp, assistant coach of the UBC Thunderbirds men's basketball team, joining us a couple of times there after his phone cut out. But talking about, I guess, his team coming back down to earth a little bit after suffering their first loss of the season on Thursday night. 3-point loss to the Simon Fraser Clan up on Burnaby Mountain. UBC then rebounding to get the split on Saturday afternoon, and at least some momentum heading into these couple of games this coming weekend at War Gym versus the Victoria Vikes. Always a very
anticipated matchup between those two schools. A lot of history, playoff history as well. And so certainly we're looking forward to those. Of course, we'll have all the action for you Friday and Saturday night on radio, CITR 101.9 FM. Coverage beginning just before 6 o'clock with the women's matchup. Wilson Wong and Howard Samura will have the call of those. And then, of course, Daryl Wiener and Doug Richards with the call of the men's games, UBC and Victoria. And then the basketball teams remain at home to finish up the regular season Saturday, February 13th versus Trinity Western. Game times at War Gym 6 for the women and 8 for the men's team. And we'll have those here on CITR 101.9 FM as well. And that will take us right into wall-to-wall coverage of the Canada West playoffs, as we always do with men's and women's basketball. Just a comment on the Victoria Vikes in terms of the men's team. They're coming into this weekend's action after a pretty devastating loss to the Fraser Valley Cascades last Saturday. After beating Fraser Valley with a last-second bucket on Friday to move into fourth place in the Pacific Division, a playoff position, the Vikes look well on their way to a weekend sweep, leading by 23 points at the half on Saturday, but a catastrophic collapse after that. They could not stave off the Fraser Valley rally and now find themselves on the outside of the playoff picture. As is their trademark, though, the Vikes boast one of the stingiest defenses in the conference, ranking second behind UBC with only 69.7 points allowed per game. The figure, however, has much to do with Victoria's desire to slow the pace of the game and minimize possessions, as it does with defensive prowess. The Vikes ranking 8th in field goal percentage defense at 41.8%, 9th in steals at 7.8%, 11th in rebounding margin, and 13th in blocked shots. So there's those stats, but they do take good care of the basketball. A league low 172 turnovers, so UBC will certainly have to make the most of their opportunities. That 172 turnovers is only 52 less than second-ranked SFU, and of course UBC split with the Clans, so there's that. But if UBC can just dominate more with offense, Victoria averaging only 72.2 points per game, that's third lowest in the Canada West, then UBC should be in pretty good shape come Friday and Saturday night. So we'll look forward to those games. Coming up in a little bit, after this quick break, we're going to shift focus over to another team that's been dominating all season long, that being the UBC Thunderbirds women's volleyball team. They still remain undefeated following a couple of big wins at War Gym over the Manitoba Bisons this past weekend, the second place team in the Canada West. We figured that would be a very tight, close matchup for the Thunderbirds, but they still come up with three set wins both nights. So really, I mean, can anybody beat the Thunderbirds? That's the question. The difference now going forward, of course, is that they have locked up top spot in the Canada West Conference. So we'll talk with Lauren Whitehead about that and the approach going forward and the season thus far. All of that discussion coming up shortly here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Join CITR and Mint Records at the Railway Club on Thursday, February 4th to celebrate the release of Fanshawe's new album,
Dark Eyes.
Fanshawe's debut album on Mint arrives in stores on February 9th
and features vocal contributions by Shane Turner of Love and Mathematics, as well as drums by CITR Shindig winner Johnny Payne of The Shilohs.
Come early to catch opening acts Shane Turner Overdrive and Lost Lovers Brigade. That's the Fanshawe album release party at the Railway Club on Thursday, February 4th.
Hosted by Mint Records and sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Well, the party is off to a good start. Guests are on time. Everyone's out to have fun and to help others fun.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
UBC students have an alternative. Looking to unwind? Check out one of the sub's two licensed establishments.
The Gallery Lounge is your location for a wide variety of draft beers at student-friendly prices. Come to the gallery for a relaxed atmosphere and great food, including the famous pizza pretzel. Fellow students provide the entertainment with weekly open mic and karaoke nights. The gallery is located on the main concourse of the sub and open Monday through Saturday till 1 a.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society. All the things you see dancing, guess you better find your way back home.
on out to Bob Marley's 65th birthday tribute on Wednesday, February 10th at the Royal Canadian Legion Hall. 10 pairs of free tickets will be given out to CITR listeners, so have your ears open for your free pair. That's Bob Marley's 65th birthday tribute on February 10th at the Royal Canadian Legion Hall, located on 2205 Commercial Drive. Be there, Mon!
Welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue on CITR 101.9 FM. Tyler Noble filling in for Daryl Wiener this week. A little under the weather. I believe it's bronchitis, but I'm not 100% sure. But the guy's been having a tough time the last week, although I was sick right before that too. So I certainly, Daryl, I feel for you, and get well soon, buddy. And certainly a pleasure to fill in on the big chair here this afternoon on Wiener's Barbecue on CITR. Well, women's volleyball is our focus for this segment. A team that's doing very well, needless to say, this season as they head towards another national championship, hopefully for them, a chance to three-peat. 17-0 so far this season following a couple of big wins over Manitoba this past weekend at War. Jim with me on the line, fourth-year outside hitter Lauren Whitehead. Lauren, thank you for taking the time this afternoon.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, following the holiday break, your team had a couple of tough outings against Regina. Five sets one night, four sets the other, but you still managed to find a way to extend the winning streak and carry the momentum forward into Brandon. Skip ahead a few weeks and your team is still undefeated. Do you feel the team is back to playing the way that you want to be and the way that you were before the break, especially given those two wins over Manitoba?
Yes, of course. It's always tough coming back after the Christmas break and playing automatically like you had been previously. But I feel like we've gotten back into the swing of things, and things are starting to flow on our side of the court, which is always great.
Did your team look at these games against Manitoba and eye those up as a measuring stick for where you're at in terms of the entire Canada West picture?
Well, Manitoba was definitely, we knew in advance they would be one of our toughest competitions. They always have been. They're a very strong team, so it was a definite challenge, and it was great to have someone really push us like that, and it exposed some of our weaknesses, which we have been working on the past couple of weeks, and hopefully have all tidied up by the time we get to Canada West.
Maybe talk about some of those weaknesses, not apparent to the casual observer, but certainly, you know, given the outcome of the matches, three sets both nights this past weekend. But what are some of the things that your team has been working on?
We've been working a lot on our out-of-system play. It's always been something the Thunderbirds we've been known for, is how well we do when things aren't perfect. And we had a little bit of trouble initially when we came back from the Christmas break, which is hence Regina, going to five sets and such, being able to get those transition balls back and not expecting, like, when we hit the ball the first time, it's not going to be a kill the first time every time, but being able to play out those rallies and get those transition balls in. We've really been working on that this past week.
How do you approach the rest of the season now that first place is wrapped up? You know you'll be playing in the Canada West Final Four at the end of the month. You'll have a bye week. You've got the two coming up in Alberta this coming weekend, and then one to finish up at home against the Simon Fraser Clan. How do you maintain that focus? Is the goal now to finish undefeated? Where do you go from here?
Well, we do have our outcome goals, like first outcome goal of getting to Canada West. And, of course, we would love to keep the streak going, but I think our focus is more on the process at the moment of working on still getting better. We're obviously, no team's perfect, and so we want to focus on just improving those little things, like improving the transition balls, as I said, and also working on serving tougher and better defense. And so by focusing on those little things, it's helping to keep, well, we have our big goal in the distance, but not focusing on that outcome. Focusing on that process is helping us a lot.
Is it a good or a bad thing to have not lost a game? Certainly in professional sports, we saw in the NFL this season a couple of teams that went deep into the season with no losses, and there was a lot of talk. Well, is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know, the New England Patriots had an undefeated run and lost the very last game. Yeah. How does your team see it? Is it good for the confidence that there haven't been any losses, or do you feel maybe some more adversity would be better in terms of preparation for the playoffs?
Not necessarily, because we did win the games, but sometimes how we won the game differed. So in some sets, like the first night against Manitoba, we won more handily. But when they put up a larger fight in the second night on the Saturday, it was, you don't necessarily have to lose to learn that lesson.
Mm-hmm.
To learn, it was almost better to be able to be pushed like that, to be down, and to be able to come back. Like when we were down 23 and 24, and they had a chance to put the game away, being able to stay confident and push through that is almost better than losing and having to learn the lesson that way. It's better to overcome it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Does it become let's hypothetically say here that your team is able to win the next three matches and finish with an undefeated record of 20-0? I mean, basically after that you can't afford any more losses. Does that thought kind of make you feel a little bit uneasy?
No, I feel very confident in mm-hmm. how our team is doing and how well we work together. That's one thing that's very strong about us. We're a very strong group of girls, and we are very good friends, and it doesn't even, the thought of losing or winning doesn't really sit in your mind like that. You think more about how you're going to do it, how you're going to get there, game plan, and focusing on these little things. So those big, scary things like, oh my gosh, are we going to be undefeated?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to lose? Are we going to win? Those things won't come into your mind.
And they probably haven't been coming into the mind much this season. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
You talked about the team and how you're all very close. Maybe give us a little comparison over the last number of years, particularly the last two, which resulted in national championships. It seems like Coach Reimer is just adding new pieces to the team, and it just keeps getting better. Comment on this group compared to the past couple of years.
Well, one thing Doug has always been known for, and most girls, like we had our seniors' night this past weekend, and one thing that's always brought up by the seniors at the meetings is how good Doug has been at recruiting. What a lot of coaches, people don't understand about how coaches recruit, it's not all about the skill, the technique, but it's also about the personalities. Volleyball is such a team sport
mm-hmm.
that if you don't have that cohesion in the group, it's not going to work. You can have the most talented players, but if they don't work together, it's not going to work out and you're not going to have a good team. But Doug has done such a good job at recruiting not just on skill, but on these personality things that are helping us really come together as a group and work together. And I think these past 2 years, what has been different from like my first year, where we didn't make it to nationals, and my second and third year where we won, was the fact that we had like a team bonding session before. Like during our preseason, we had team bonding sessions. We really made an effort to get to know each other and to become best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of translates onto the court as well. If you're not playing just for yourself, but you're playing for the other girls in the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what are you expecting from the Alberta Pandas this coming weekend? They've clinched a playoff spot. They're going to be playing in some sort of quarterfinal series coming up in a few weeks from now. Probably another tough opponent, fair to say.
Yes. Alberta is always tough there. They can be kind of an inconsistent team sometimes. It's very difficult to know what to expect. But we definitely have to look out for some of their girls, some of their power hitters, tricky girls with their off-speed balls and tips and such. So we're more of a hard-hitting team, so playing against a team that has more shots can sometimes be difficult. So that's one thing we've been working on this week, is how to deal with things that aren't quite coming as fast as we're used to.
I just want to get a comment from you on the play of Jessica Von Schilling. She's a name that that we see in the post-match recaps all the time. Really stepping up and becoming a key player for this Thunderbirds squad, particularly in terms of blocking.
Oh, yes. She has been playing brilliantly. Her blocking, just the way she's been able to read the hitters and see their angles and just take it away. Even in practice, it's been almost frustrating for us hitting against her.
Yeah.
She's been so good at just recognizing this and applying it in the game and getting these big blocks for us, which are so much more than... They're worth technically only 1 point, but mentally they're worth even more against another team.
Not to look too far ahead here, but I do want to get into the whole bit about the Final Four not going to be hosted by you folks, the UBC Thunderbirds. This one year in particular that you actually finish atop the Canada West standings, is that disappointing? Another Olympic-related inconvenience, shall we say? But or does it really matter? Just once it's the Final Four teams, it doesn't matter. The best team just needs to get the job done. What are your thoughts on having to host the Final Four somewhere else, so to speak?
Well, it's always frustrating when you... Like, it would be nice to have it here, to have it in your hometown, so your parents and your friends can come and watch. But I don't think the location will affect us.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I think there's a possibility we could be going back to Brandon, Manitoba, which is quite a trip for us. It's a long flight to Winnipeg and then a bus ride out to Brandon. But I don't think that will have as much of an impact on us, which is very good to say.
Your thoughts on your own performance so far this season? Are you where you want to be, or is there are certain things that you're trying to work on and tune up heading into the playoffs?
Well, there's always things to be working on. I always want to be working on my passing skills and such. But it's been great getting into games more, and Breen and I have been going in as the double sub, it's called, so that we can get, because you want to have as many attackers as possible, so you want to have three front row hitters at all times, and so sometimes I'll go in for Katie, our front row setter, so that we'll have extra hitters in there. And it's been a really good experience. I haven't done that before. Mm-hmm. I was the left side. So it's kind of been fun playing on the right side now and working on those different angles, because it's surprisingly different approaching from the differences from the opposite side of the court.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a great time, and I'm still working on becoming a better right side.
Fair enough. Well, listen, I appreciate the time this afternoon. Have fun in Edmonton. And hopefully when you come back to take on the Simon Fraser Clan, it's still a zero in the loss column for the UBC Thunderbirds.
I hope so. Thank you very much.
All right. That's Lauren Whitehead, fourth-year outside hitter from the UBC Thunderbirds women's volleyball team, 17-0. Looking to three-peat as national champions, certainly on the right path to doing so, but three more matches to go to cap the Canada West season with an undefeated record, and UBC certainly, I would say, in good position to do that. Of course, there is reasons why they do play the matches, but tough test this past weekend. Passed overwhelmingly successfully, three set wins over the Manitoba Bisons both nights at War Memorial Gym. That's the second place team in the Canada West, and UBC survived some scares against some other tough teams in the conference. Regina and Brandon back at that time ranked as top 10 teams in the country. Not three set sweeps all the way through in those ones, but still finding a way to get a win, and certainly that's a positive sign for the UBC Thunderbirds as they approach the postseason. But as we talked about, if you don't suffer any losses in that regular season, and since they are getting a bye through the quarterfinal round of the playoffs, it is basically win or you're out from there on in the Final Four, and then, of course, the national championship tournament, a quarterfinal, semifinal, and the big game itself. So UBC will either have to keep it going to perfection or... the alternative would be to suffer a loss somewhere here and be able to learn from that and maybe use that as a way to strengthen their preparations and their position heading into the Canada West playoffs. Just a little recap of what happened this past weekend. 3-0 victory on Saturday night, 25-23, 25-20, 27-25. That win did clinch top spot in the Canada West for the Thunderbirds. Saturday's match was no cakewalk, as Lauren was talking about. The Bisons come out much tougher than they were on Friday, leading for most of the first and third sets before the Birds were able to mount late comebacks and take the lead. Coach Doug Reimer was talking about asking his players to have some selective amnesia when it comes to the Saturday match as compared to the Friday, and I think it's fair to say he's probably going to be expecting more of that heading into Alberta and then finishing off the season against the Simon Fraser Clan, 3 p.m. there on February 13th, and heading into the playoffs undefeated and then getting a bye week. We'll have to see how that plays out. Although they certainly, the Thunderbirds have not gone through the season without having to have some of their players battle illness and injuries, and somehow they keep getting the wins. So there you go. On Saturday night, Liz Cordonnier had a game-high 14 kills and 3 aces on the night. Shanice Marcel, game-high 12 digs to go along with her 11 kills. And we talked about Jessica Von Schilling in the interview there. She had 7 kills on just 10 attacks against Manitoba on Saturday. So the Birds, they have the top seed locked up, 3 matches remaining. Coach Reimer insists that the team will be focused on quality performances every night rather than looking too far ahead. And it's kind of hard to look too far ahead anyways, knowing that you'll be traveling for the Canada West Final Four, even though you are the host team. So it'll be interesting times. That'll be one of the teams we'll be obviously following very closely throughout the playoffs. UBC Women's Volleyball, as they look to repeat, currently 17-0, 3 more matches to go in conference play, and those next ones coming up against Alberta in Edmonton Friday and Saturday night. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to hook up with Howard Samura from the Vancouver Province newspaper and cover a number of topics. Hiring of a new coach for the UBC football team. It is a bit of old news, but we'll be curious to hear Howard's thoughts on the hiring of Sean Olson to succeed fired head coach Ted Govaya, and how that might change the Thunderbirds and where that leaves the Simon Fraser Clan. Sean Olson, the offensive coordinator, now formerly of the SFU Clan, where will that program be heading into the NCAA for the first season? So we'll get into that, as well as his thoughts on UBC men's basketball being upset by Simon Fraser over the weekend, UBC then able to bounce back on the Saturday. So we'll kind of cover a number of different things with Howard coming up next here on CITR 101.9 FM.
This boy and girl coming home from school look quite content with life. And why not? They're looking forward to an important date, dinner at home with the family. What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Luckily, UBC students have lots of on-campus dining options.
The Pendulum Restaurant, your source for fresh dishes made in-house. The Pendulum boasts a large selection of vegan dishes, a comfortable atmosphere, and tasty breakfasts. On sunny days, you can also enjoy the licensed patio. Conveniently located next to the pit, the Pendulum is open 7 days a week. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society. Hey, as far as I'm the man, I turn
to food. UBC's Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of Indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
This is George Shea, and you're listening to Wiener's Barbecue, and there's no place where the Coney Island Red Hots are hotter.
I don't understand that station ID. I just wanted to play a random one there. Tyler Noble filling in for Daryl Wiener here on Wiener's Barbecue on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Last segment of the show. I don't know how I'm getting through it by myself, but we are nonetheless. With me on the line, Howard Samura from the Vancouver Province newspaper, a good friend of CITR, of course, on our women's basketball broadcast. Howard, it's been a while since we've talked.
Hey, well, good to be with you, man, and I'll help you finish strong here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a few things I want to get your thoughts on. We'll get to the basketball in a minute, but I know you've been following, obviously, the Sean Olsen story, him being hired as the new head coach of the UBC Thunderbirds football team. Just some thoughts on the hiring and what UBC's chances of a quick turnaround might be.
Well, I think, you know, just first off, I mean, if we look at the net effect of, and this not necessarily the reason you hire a guy like Sean Olsen, but I think what he means to this community was really evident. You know, when you just picked up the papers the next day, turned on the news that night, I don't think you're going to get that type of, you know, reaction from the mainstream media, you know, unless there's a guy that I think really has a personality that I think people can attach themselves to. And I think based on one press conference, you know, Sean Olsen showed that he can really kind of be a beacon for that UBC football program, which I think is a huge thing at this stage, you know, of their development from standpoints other than just their recruitment of players and getting back on the map. But I think from that standpoint, he's huge as well, just in terms of, I think he's a very well-connected guy. I think innovatively, offensively, you know, you get glowing recommendations from so many of the people you talk to in the local football community. So I think it's the perfect hire on just about every level you could possibly imagine, and I can't wait to see what he does, you know, with the program.
The year that the Simon Fraser clan made the Hardy Cup final, a lot of credit was given to head coach Dave Johnson for the turnaround, but the way the clan were so efficient on offense both that season and then this past season, maybe Sean Olsen deserves quite a lot of the credit.
Well, I think Dave Johnson will tell you that himself, that, yeah, you know, he really appreciated what Sean Olsen did, you know, not just, you know, as his offensive coordinator, but a guy who, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, I think really, you know, turned some stones over and brought some neat pieces, you know, into that program, including Bernd Dietrich, you know, the late Bernd Dietrich, who died so tragically. Sean Olsen's so connected, you know, with football in Europe. And really, it was an aside at Sean's press conference, but he said, you know what, it's expensive to make those trips over there, but, you know, I'm not adverse to doing that. If we can put it together, I would love to go over there and do some recruiting. This guy will leave no stone unturned, and I think he knows that Europe is a pretty neat kind of fertile ground to bring players in, you know, that want to get an international experience and you know, continue to play, you know, for want of a better term, North American tackle football.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that Daryl and I have both been talking about in this space leading up to the hiring and even after is the process, and particularly how long it was. Does Sean have enough time to recruit and add the pieces that he wants to this team heading into the start of the season, presumably in late August, early September? I mean, that's really not a lot of time to work with.
Yeah, it's not a lot of time. And you know what? You can look at what's happening. And though Sean obviously is so tied to that Simon Fraser program before he came back to his alma mater, but the Simon Fraser clan, you know, basically will be announcing, you know, a number of top local high school players because they're a Division II program, and obviously NCAA signing day is tomorrow. So we're going to find out, you know, from the clan perspective, who they brought into their program. And I will tell you, Kevin Phillips, the head coach of the Centennial Centaurs in Coquitlam, who won AAA Subway Bowl, obviously, you know, a great coach and so well connected, you know, through his training center that he runs, is now the new recruiting coordinator at Simon Fraser University. So is it ideal timing that Sean got brought in at this date? I think Sean will tell you, hey, I would love to have started earlier, because I think you got to go out and you got to win those battles and you got to win them quickly. So clearly, he's hard at work on doing what he can. I'm not saying it's too late, but I think it would have been better if they could have got him in before Christmas. I think that would have given him a better shot to go out into this market and get some players. At the same time, those fifth years that were going to be fifth year guys at Simon next year obviously are looking for places to play. There's a ton of quality players there, and I don't think anyone's better connected to them than, you know, their old offensive coordinator. And I think UBC's got the head start on bringing in some of those fifth year SFU guys, which can make a real quick difference in your program.
Well, and at the press conference, Sean, I don't think made that any kind of a secret either in terms of making efforts to bring some players over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think he does see the quality that's there. And at the same time, he did say, you know, at that press conference that, you know, we're not the only ones chasing after these guys. You know, schools across the country, you know what kinds of players they are based on, you know, their Hardy Cup appearance and all that kind of stuff. And they're chasing those guys too. So I think there'll be some neat news ahead in terms of recruiting for UBC. You know, is it ideal that he's, you know, coming in at this late date? No, I think they should have had him in a lot earlier. But I think there was some friction, perhaps, with the hiring committee, and they couldn't get the guy in they wanted, and all of that stuff kind of, you know, stalled the process. And I think, in the end, could hurt the Thunderbirds, you know, just off the top in this first recruiting season.
It could hurt them to the point between making the playoffs and maybe not making the playoffs then.
Well, we know how competitive the Canada West is. I mean, nobody has to tell anybody that. And the fact that, you know, the other school across town is now recruiting with a different method. I mean, they are an NCAA Division II program, and there's a choice for players to make. But the fact that, you know, one of the programs in your town now plays in the U.S., you know, kids were faced with having to make a decision early, earlier than they normally do, because the NCAA is so restrictive in terms of announcing signings and all that kind of stuff, that I think the SFU people have asked for commitments early and you know, probably got a lot of those commitments early, too.
Speaking of the Clan, the tragic passing of their starting quarterback, Bernie Dietrich, in November, and then the loss of their offensive coordinator, I mean, what kind of shape are the Clan going to be in heading into their first season of NCAA play?
Well, you know what? I think it's going to be a tough season. I mean, I love the fact that Simon Fraser Athletic Department has given Dave Johnson the 5-year extension, because I think he's a quality guy, a quality coach, and I think he knows what he's doing up there.
Yeah.
But I think that's a huge step to take in terms of changing your mindset just to a different style of game, obviously, to four-down football and to recruit and to go into those U.S. hotbeds where, you know, they own certain recruiting markets and they know what to expect and what kinds of players you need. I think to go in there and expect him to be a success right off the hop is a real tall order. And I think it's going to take... you know, it could take many of those Simon Fraser programs a few years in various sports before they're right up to the top level of competition in NCAA Division II.
Yeah, we'll get into where the basketball teams are at in a second, but just to wrap up the football discussion here, last season only one earned win for the UBC Thunderbirds football team, two given to them by default to finish the season 3-5, but 1-7 in reality. I suppose there's nowhere to go but up for the Thunderbirds with their new coach this year.
Yeah, and they'll tell you, and everybody says they were a one-win team, and I think, you know, there's no really disguising that. But yeah, Sean Olson's enthusiasm, I think, was enough to light up the room there on his hiring day. A guy who, you know, isn't promising the world, you know, but I thought the telling quote, Tyler, when he said, "I want to win with every ounce of my being, every fiber of my being," that's all I had to hear from the guy as to how determined this guy is to want to try and turn things around. And he's a young guy with a lot of energy, and I think that's a real exciting thing.
Yeah, one of the lines he used was he bled blue and gold when he played here, and he knows, he's been there. And I think that if you ask the players, that's something that they point to right away, as he has been to the Vanier Cup and won it.
That's right. And just to close on this, because I know you want to move on, but he did say to me privately after that he had to hold back in that press conference. Like, honestly, from an emotional standpoint, there would have been tears if he didn't fight them back. He was that excited to get up to that podium. And he told me afterwards, I had to dial it down. I had to make sure I held my composure. And that's the kind of day it was for him. And that's how significant it was for him. And I think that's a huge thing.
Basketball. The UBC Thunderbirds suffered their first loss of the season Thursday night atop Burnaby Mountain against the Simon Fraser Clan. We knew going into that game that SFU was going to be tough given their record that they had going into that one. A 3-point win, but Simon Fraser, they really are for real, aren't they, this season?
Yeah, they definitely are, and I think the first time you play that team, you don't know what to expect. I mean, you get film, and you see that the Simon Fraser team plays the same brand of hard-nosed defense they've always played and always kept scores low. But when you see what they do offensively, you can see it on tape, and, you know, you can't replicate the Princeton offense because it's a repetition-based offense, and I think if you try and, create that in your own practices, it'll never be at the same level, the same tempo and pace that the Clan can do it at. So that was a big learning curve for UBC in that first game. That's why the Clan shot 60% from 3-point range in the game, and UBC just didn't know quite how to face that kind of ball movement, you know. But I think you credit Kevin Hansen's guys, because they come back the next day, or 2 days later rather, and they come away with a win against that same offense. They're a pretty adaptable group. It did, you know, take that one notch in the loss column for them. It drops them out of number one in the national rankings, you know, for whatever that's worth. But I think UBC showed it can adapt to the most diverse and different offense, you know, in the Canada West, and it's taken a lot of teams by surprise this year.
Do you think it was good for UBC to get a loss? I know this type of discussion has come up in the recent NFL season about the Colts and the Saints and the possibility of them going undefeated. Once the loss happened, the whole talk about undefeated just instantly went away. So do you think that's a good thing for the Birds as well, to just
okay, the undefeated season's not going to happen?
You know what? I don't know. With this group, I think this group could have handled going through the season undefeated. I think perhaps the 20-0 team from a few years ago maybe believed its press clippings a bit too much, and maybe they were more about offensive flair than they were about that balance. I did a story comparing the plus-minus ratings between that 20-0 team and this season's team, and this season's team is clearly a superior team statistically. So I think they could have handled it. But you know what? It's a good reminder for them, and Hanson did admit that, because I think the previous two games or three games before, they found themselves rallying in the second half, and it was going to catch up to them. So this time it does bite them, and they have to cope with a brand new offense from Simon Fraser. I think all those things kind of foretold what could possibly have happened, and it did happen in that series opener on Thursday.
You had a good look at both the games over the Thursday-Saturday schedule there up at SFU. A comment on some of the problems UBC has, at least from what you could see.
You're talking about the men still.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think it's never easy, I think, when your rotation is basically 12 players or whatever Kevin Hansen's got it at, that everyone says, hey, they're so dialed in, and I have seen it, and I'm sure you have as well, that the intensity level from 1 to 12 or 13 is quite amazing. You know, when you're tantalizing players with smaller minutes, for them to come in that hungry, cold off the bench in so many different situations, and many of them being kind of game changers in the process, that's a hard thing to maintain all the time. So, if I see any, I don't see any faults with this UBC or weaknesses with this UBC team, really, other than it's got to be hard mentally for all those guys on the bench to bring the kind of intensity they've had and really feel like they're contributing when sometimes, they're not being asked to play huge minutes. I think that's a credit to the whole coaching staff.
On the women's side, they only met on Saturday afternoon, an 81-68 win for Simon Fraser. Not a surprise there, I would suppose. Just how strong is this Simon Fraser clan team? Are they poised for a repeat?
Oh, boy. I mean, I think that's a really, really good young UBC Thunderbirds team. And you can see how they're improving, and they definitely belong in the national top 10. But that Simon Fraser women's team is just... it's a pretty incredible group. And I guess maybe it's hard to know just how good when UBC and SFU aren't on the same level, like they have been so many years where it's a pick 'em situation heading into the season, and when you pick one, the other one wins, especially at nationals. That's always been tough, but this year they're so much clearly better than anyone else in the country, and I just I can't believe, like the UBC men, the depth that the SFU women have and how it just keeps cycling in and out, and whatever combination is on the floor brings out the strengths of their character and what they're all about on the floor. It's amazing to watch.
Obviously the women are national championship contenders all the time, but this year, do you feel the men are a national championship contender? Can they get through that Canada West Final Four and all those strong teams?
Well, I think that's going to be tough. I think teams have now faced Simon Fraser, once through the cycle here, and I think know more what to expect. But I would not hold any low expectations for that clan team. Like, I think they could, on a given night, they could beat any team in the country. And I think they showed that when they beat UBC on Thursday. So just because of the what they do and how patient and tough they are, tough-minded especially, I think you cannot write them out of any scenario where they go to the national championship. I mean, I think they're in the running. But I think this UBC team is especially talented. Mm-hmm. And with Josh White there as a go-to player, I think that might be the best team Kevin Hansen's had. I think this team might have more intensity top to bottom than last year's team that went to the national final. And that's no slight on that team, but I just think this year's UBC team is that good. I think the one loss really is going to prove to be, not typical of what they're all about. So we'll see down the road, but I'm especially impressed with the SFU women, the UBC men this year, as being like real, teams that have set the bar, the signature teams, from this conference over the last, 10 years or so.
SFU heading to Division II NCAA. We talked about the football team, but the two basketball teams, what is their readiness for NCAA competition? You'd think that the women should do well, but what about the men?
Well, I think for the women, you first have to kind of jump stop and look at the fact that their seniors night featured eight graduating players, including their Fab Four, who thought they had one more year left. Yeah. That team is being completely remade next year. I mean, Weigel, Hutzler, Hull, Buna, so many, Lisa Tindall, they're all gone next year. It is a rebuilding project, and I think, you know, although this year's SFU team really, you know, goes down there shorthanded and beats one of the best teams in Division II in Western Washington, they did a great job with them. I think next year they're going to struggle, just in terms of being a national championship contender. It's not going to happen that quickly. They have to go through the whole recruiting cycle, and I think they're bringing in great players, but I think they'll be challenged throughout the year, and I think the SFU men are going to lose a huge amount of what they're all about with their three seniors in Burke, Kosminski, and Shaw. So both SFU teams, basketball-wise and that football team, I think are both, you know, going to find out how tough it is next year in Division II.
Finally, Howard, UBC taking on Victoria, both the women and the men, at War Memorial. Jim, just a thought on those two matchups.
Well, from the men's perspective, I think, you know what, Victoria, if you ever thought you were going to have a mad Victoria team that wants to really, you know, show that it does have a defensive identity, I think you're going to get that Victoria team to open this weekend series based on the fact that, you know, they were unable to come away with that win over Thompson Rivers. I think that one stings them a bit. Mm-hmm. I think the UBC women simply have to play their game. I know Victoria is going to be very pesky on the women's side, but, you know, I like what so many of those young players are doing in terms of stepping up in the leading roles with that UBC women's team. So, you know, I think the Birds men's and women's teams can sweep their weekend series, but at the same time, it's not going to be easy because I think both Victoria teams, you know, have always brought a defensive identity to the conference play.
And a lot at stake, too, for the four teams involved here. You've got home playoff position on the line for both women's teams, but desperation from the Vikes on the men's team, and then for UBC, a chance to lock up home court throughout the playoffs. So lots to be looking forward to there.
Exactly, and I think as well, thank God for the traditional rivalry and the fact that the faithful at War Memorial actually get to see one of those rivals this year. That's a good thing, I think. And Victoria and town, I hope for the Thunderbirds means a good gate and people who come to appreciate Canadian university basketball at its best and one of the best rivalries in the country, and that's always been UVic-UBC, and that's what we get this weekend.
Well said. Howard, appreciate the time tonight. And
anytime, my friend.
Yeah, we'll look forward to seeing you on Friday, I guess.
All right, I'll be out there.
All right,
thanks so much.
All right, Howard Samura from the Vancouver Province newspaper, friend of CITR, of course, joining us on our women's basketball coverage. You can hear him Friday night as we broadcast UBC women's basketball versus the Victoria Vikes. Our coverage begins about 10 to 6 Friday night. We'll have the rematch on Saturday here on 101.9 FM. And, of course, both men's meetings, 8 o'clock starts, UBC and Victoria, again, for War Memorial Gym. And so very critical games, as we've been talking about throughout the show here, for the UBC Thunderbirds and their opponents in the UVic Vikes as well. So should be some intense basketball for sure, and we're looking forward to bringing those games to you. We are done. Well, I'm done anyways, filling in for Daryl this week. It has been a slice. Hopefully he will be back next week and well recovered and loud as he usually is. Mike with Flex Your Head is coming up next year on CITR 101.9 FM. Thank you very much for tuning in. My name's Tyler Noble, and you have a great rest of your evening. I'm going to be right.